Alhamdulillah, we are reciting the series of the Hawamim, the Hamim surahs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use the letters Hamim, La Yunsarun, at the time of warfare and battle. They have their effects, which can be learned, I guess, over time. Just wanted to maybe treat you to something that Qayyim Tayyib Sahib Rahimullah said in this surah, Surah Ash-Shura. Allah yajtabi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. It's how the mind of the awliya work, whether they're thinking of, you know, matters and issues that we don't think of. As I mentioned yesterday, we think of the mundane, the dunya, politics, khilafah, economics, and whatever. The awliya of Allah, Qaisab, obviously, rahimullah, great wali of Allah. And he's a master of the Quran also, because he would recite 3 juz a day in his nafil without fail. And he was just the master of the Quran, inside out, outside in, and always thinking about the Quran, what the Quran is saying, and all of that. So anyway, I'm just going to give you an insight into how he was thinking all the time. Wallahu yajtabi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. That these are the types of ayat he would think about. That here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of 2 distinct groups of awliya, 2 distinct groups of good Muslims. The first is what Allah says, those who are mujtaba, those who are chosen. Allah yajtabi man yasha. Those who are chosen are guided by Allah's fadl, Allah's lutf, Allah's subtle grace, Allah's irada, and whatever you want to call it. Is a divine push, where even if they wanted to, they couldn't go astray. So there's one type of people, very close to Allah, known as the mukhlasin. Illa ibadullah al-mukhlasin, those who are made pure. And Allah chooses them. So here, this ayah is Allah yajtabi man yasha. Allah chooses whomever He wants to. Which is something that came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into the ummah as a sadaqah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a gift from the Prophet to the ummah, that the ummah is now also mujtaba. Huwajtabakum. Allah says another place, Huwajtabakum. He has chosen you, O Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma ja'ala alaykum fi ddeen min haraj, millata abikum Ibrahim. So Allah has chosen the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning as a group, as a unit, Allah will always guide the Ummah, even though some people may be deviant here. We all have those fools and idiots in every community who do things and mess up things for everybody else. But on the whole, as a unit, huwajtabakum, Allah has chosen you to represent Allah's irada and be a witness to mankind and for mankind. But that comes from this now particular detail that Allah yajtabi man yasha. Allah chooses whomever He wants to. That's His eternal divine choice, and you can't mess with it. You can't interfere with it. So Allah yakhtassu bi rahmatihi man yasha. One of the problems with the Jews, especially the Jews, and also the Christians, they're both the same. The Jew-Christian nafs is the same. They're both khabith. They're both haram. There's no favoritism with the Jew or the Christian. They're both khabith. They're both non-Muslim. So that they well, so the jealousy that they show with disdain to the Muslim Ummah and to the Father of Allah that Allah shows Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is astronomical. And we should appreciate that jealousy. We should appreciate that hatred. And we should appreciate the disdain they have for us. Because Allah chose us. يَخْتَصُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Allah now prefers and chooses whomever He wants with His rahmah, with His fadl. Now that came to us through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now the Jews in Medina, they're waiting for the Messiah from the Banu Israel. Oh, we're here in Yathrab, we're waiting for the final Messiah. He's going to come and rescue us, and He's going to be from our progeny. Then all of a sudden, somebody from the Banu Ismail shows up. He says, he's not the Messiah, I'm the Messiah. So that tribal jealousy kicks in. You see, that prejudice kicks in. The blood is thicker than the water. Why do the Arabs have a Messiah? Why is he not from us? So this jealousy is kind of almost primordial, very ancient. Okay. So they didn't like the idea that a Nabi al-Ummi, someone who's unlettered, who's not from the Ahlul Kitab, is now chosen to represent Allah's will until the Day of Judgment. So they have this. And Allah says to us in the Quran, Allah yajtabi man yasha. Allah chooses whomever He wishes to choose for His cause. That's one thing. That's the eternal fadl of Allah. You can't mess with it. Oh, meaning that don't say that why did God choose this one and not this one. So what we do in Islam is that we see Allah's fadl wherever it is and however it is, we don't discriminate. And that's been the hallmark of this ummah. The hallmark of the ulama and the awliya of this ummah is that they love each other. They'll respect each other. They'll appreciate each other's knowledge. They'll sit in each other's company. They'll have food together. They'll make dua for each other. They won't backbite and they won't backstab each other. They don't do that because this is the ishtiba, this is the chosen one from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we keep the ummah together despite our differences or perhaps because of our differences. Right? Yeah. So we don't do that. Anyone who chooses to divide us, we say, nope, you're not doing that. Not on my watch. So Imam Shafi, rahimullah, a great scholar, a genius of a scholar, a great mujtahid, alhamdulillah, mashallah. In his Kitab al-Umm, he's narrating the madhab of Abu Hanifa. You know, there's a tension between Abu Hanifa and Shafi. Sure there is. You bet there is. But is there any animosity? Is there any enmity? Is there any jealousy? No. He narrates Abu Hanifa's madhab throughout his book, Kitab al-Umm. Abu Hanifa says it. And although he disagrees with most of his positions, he doesn't condemn him. That's the adab. That when you are mujtaba and you're chosen by Allah, then you follow the footsteps of the Prophet and you see Allah's fadl wherever it is and however it is. There's no jealousy there, there's no pride. We're all from the same family, we're on the same boat. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. We stay together. And there's only one community that does that. I'll tell you about them in a minute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants believers to stay together from the beginning to the end. So the Prophet said, I don't know about this ummah, I don't know which part of the ummah is more beneficial than the other. I don't know which one. It's like a shower. It's like a shower. That's what. So I don't know which part of the shower is more beneficial to the ummah, the first part or the last part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a lesson in Surah Al-Hashr. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَءُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. As a civilizational value. That those who come after the Muhajir and those who come after the Ansar, there will be another group of believers. The Muhajir, they're super, super, super. The Ansar, they're super, super. Us lot, we're the hang-ons. We're the hitchhikers. Okay. We happen to hitchhike on the Sahaba. We're not really Muslim. Okay. We just hitchhike in the same bus. Okay. So they're driving us. Okay. But this sifa, this quality of those who come afterwards, Allah says, what is their feature? What is their characteristic? What is their nobility? They say that, oh our Lord, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in Iman. That's the sifa. And that's the trademark of believers, that whoever came before us, we make dua for their forgiveness. We don't want them to go to hell. Right? وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Don't place in our hearts any rancor or any hatred, enmity, animosity for our brothers. Towards our brothers. I mean, keep us all together. So the first part of the ummah is blessed. And the second part of the ummah, what do? They make dua for the first part. And they're blessed too. You're in the same train. You're on the same train. Okay, so you're both parting, you're going to the same destination, whether it's the last cart, the carriage on the train, or it's the first one, you're going to the same place. So you have to keep together and remain together historically over time. Right? Yeah. It is Allah's will. That's when you know you're huwajtabakum, that Allah chose you because you will maintain order from the beginning of the sanad, which is the Prophet, the Sahaba, the Tabin, until the end of the sanad. The end of the, oh no, Allah knows when that will end. It's the day of judgment. You're going to keep that sanad, that chain, that link together. You're linked because of Iman, because of Islam, because you love each other and you make dua for each other. In our civilizational value, we do not condemn or curse our forefathers. We don't condemn or curse the pioneers of this ummah. We don't condemn the founding fathers of our civilization. And there's only one group on the planet that does that. You know which group condemns the founding fathers? You all know who they are. I'm not going to mention the name. You know who they are. They're losers, basically. Right? That there's nowhere in human civilization that a nation comes and condemns the founding fathers. Have you ever heard that in history? Any nation, any civilization. Yeah, this civilization, the Americans, these were the fornicators, and these were drunkards, who were the founding fathers of this country. You could say, oh yeah, founding fathers, they wrote the Constitution. But they were drunkards. They were fornicators. They were adulterers. That's who they were. But when it comes to history, come July 4th, wow, you have fireworks. And you celebrate. Right? Everybody joins in, especially the Muslims. They go to Navy Pier and they enjoy the fireworks. Meaning there's no nation on the planet that condemns its founding fathers, except one. Who are they? Those people. We don't belong to that group. And they don't belong to us. So that when you're mujtaba, you're chosen because you maintain your divine acceptance up to the end, until the last person who needs to enter Jannah enters Jannah, you're there with him. That's it. Yashtabi, wallah yashtabi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose people out of his eternal fadl to, you know, implement his irada, his will. That's the first part of the end of the ayah. The second part is وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. The Qari Sahib says, this one. See, in this one there's extra effort. There's a bit of kasb. There's a bit of earning that's needed. In the first one there's no earning. It's wahabi. It's given. It's endowed by Allah. In the second one, Allah guides those who turn towards him. وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. That he guides people who turn towards him. If you turn towards Allah, he'll guide you. If you make tawbah, he'll guide you. If you make dua, he'll answer you. If you do salat, he will reciprocate. So that's another way, which is the way we have. The way of kasb, the way of earning Allah's fadl, the way of earning hidayah. Allah gives hidayah. Hidayah is accessible, but only if you turn to him. You need. You go back to him and you make dua and you make tawbah and you make istighfar and you say, Allah, please guide me. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. The first one, even if they wanted to be misguided, they can't be. Because that's just the way Allah wants them to be. That's Allah's fadl. And I say, don't mess with that. That's his choice. Be more than happy with his choice and then relish the idea that our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they're all mujtaba, they're all chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to represent his will, his irada, and whatever he wants in this world. Then the second group are those who earn hidayah because they have something in their heart which is called humbleness. Inaba requires that you're humble, that you're dedicated to worship, and you want to worship, and you love worshiping, and you want to be forgiven, and you ask for forgiveness. So that's something in the heart of all Muslims, mashallah. And it's shown in Ramadan. It's expressed where? In Ramadan. Everybody, they show humbleness, they make dua, they do their tahajjud, they wake up for suhoor, they do their, they make their fast, and they read Quran, they come for taraweeh, and they make dua. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the ummah in Ramadan. That's all out of his fadl. So we see this, that alhamdulillah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah so much that the more we thank him, it will be nothing more than what we owe him. Inna Allah ghafurun shakur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely forgiving and very grateful, very appreciative. Allah appreciates what we do. He reciprocates, as I said. So here we see that this is the kind of thinking that went on in the mind of Qari Muhammad Tayyib, rahimah. This is what he used to think about. Sit down and think about that. Now, who thinks about this? If you're a Muslim thinker today, that you'll be talking about the Khilafah, how do you rescue Muslims from Gaza? But he's thinking this, how do I get close to Allah? Very different plane. Very different thought process. Not that he is insensitive towards the needs of the people of us. Not that. That has nothing to do with that. He's more sensitive than we can imagine. And, so on, right? And he was very dedicated to Muslim, the cause of the Muslims in India. Very dedicated to making sure that there's no injustice in India against the Muslims. And he spent his life talking to politicians and congressmen and to Indira Gandhi privately, personally, publicly. You see him in action, that he was always talking about the defense of Muslims in India. So it's not that he's insensitive, it's that when you have a mind, and what is your mind going to say, and what's your mind going to think, where do you place your thoughts? And how do you see the Quran? What do you see the Quran as? Do you see the Quran as a political manifesto for the Khilafah? Let's bring the Khilafah back into the world. Or do you see the Quran as a guide? The Quran is Hada Huda. This is a guidance. Guidance for whom? For me. Never mind, this is a guidance for me. So I have to capture the guidance that is now relevant to me at this point in time, here, in this place where I'm sitting. So what is this ayah saying? This ayah in Surah Shura, which has another, obviously, angle to it, because it's in Surah Shura, there's another angle. Now, as he's now listening to this ayah, Wallahu, Allah yajtabi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib, all of this ocean of thoughts, okay, the kind of avalanche of ideas and thoughts come on upon his mind. And then he addresses those thoughts in his lectures and his majalis and so on. So now he's distributing Allah's fadl the way Allah wants him to distribute that fadl. Anyway, just to give you a little bit of window into his mind. He was my mentor, mashallah. Okay. So that's where all this comes from. It's only because we had the suhbah and the company of these great thinkers that we have a little bit to share. Otherwise, we'd be nobody, we'd be no one to reckon with, no one to sit with. And so, because Allah's fadl on the ummah is that Allah has always placed people who can guide Muslims. That is Allah's fadl. It doesn't matter what happens in the ummah. There'll always be someone who's going to guide the ummah towards a better place, towards salvation, towards Jannah. And that is the end of the story. Anyway, we make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, raise the ranks of Qari Sahib and everybody else who has given us so much nur and hidayah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from the Quran the way they benefited. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us guidance from the Quran the way we need guidance. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya Allah.